You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Thursday, 13 February. We've got UK GDP due later this morning. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Kenyon Yana, he is from Scope Prime. PGMs, is there any compelling reason to buy? I suspect not. And I want to pick his brain. What's worrying him around the year ahead? We've got markets all over the world at or near all-time highs, as if there is nothing to worry about. Well, maybe we just shouldn't be worrying. Kobus Lutz from Pan-African Resources. Results yesterday. Gold production and sales dip, but the good news, the hedging agreement ends this month. Brad Bendel from Better Bond, he's saying that we're seeing a visible change, positive change in South Africa's residential property market. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Conservative budget, steady growth could sway rating agencies. PwC says the budget is an opportune time to highlight the progress made in the key areas. Business Day, US consumer prices rise 3% year on year in January. Hot inflation numbers put rate cut in doubt. Morning markets, the US was mixed, S&P down 0.3%, Nasdaq up 0.1%. In the East, it's mostly green, all the indices are green, Sydney up 0.2%, Tokyo up 1.3%, Hong Kong 1.4% higher, Tencent slipping down 0.2%. Commodities, mostly green, gold futures 2,942, Brent is red at 74.47, platinum green 1,055, palladium also green 996, Rand is 18.52, Bitcoin 97,500, and top 40 opening call, Wowza, 500 points to the green, 0.6% higher.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Kenyon Yana. He is, of course, Scope Prime Care. Always appreciate the early morning times. PGMs, platinum group metals. Every so often, we'll see particularly palladium maybe run a bit, platinum maybe. We certainly saw palladium over the December holidays. Always seems to fall back. They always talk around shortages, particularly in platinum coming. You're looking at this. Are you seeing any compelling logic or reasons to be getting into the PGM space, or is it still a wait and see until we see some significant breaks in the white metals?
Yes, you know, in and about October, Craig Miller, the CEO of Anglo American Platinum, put out a note in which he spoke about demand of the future of platinum.
Yeah.
And in the interim, he did speak about the low demand in the autocatalytic capability of it, but spoke about stuff like hydrogen fuel cells, it being important in hydrogen infrastructure, it being important in jewelry as well as in medical technology. But I think over time, those are for medium to long-term demand.
Yeah.
As we speak right now, it's really not looking well in terms of the basket price of PGMs. And I always say to my team that if you have something valuable that has a marginal cost to produce and the price right now does not make sense, you're just not going to produce it. Mm-hmm. And looking at the results of Impala and Anglo American Platinum, that's exactly what you see.
Yeah, and take the point and kind of try and remove that production and get that out the way. Shifting track entirely. We had U.S. inflation yesterday at 3%. Market was looking for 2.9. Of course, Powell's target is 2%. We've got, globally, I go through indices and either they're running, like, such as China, or they're at highs or, you know, just off those all-time highs. Europe, North America, our own, Asia, left, right, and center. I mean, are you looking at this with worry in your voice, or is it a case of, you know what, markets do, I don't know what markets do?
You know, so over the past years, there's been really the debate between value and growth. And I think growth has won over the past 10 years. But what that has created is concentration and valuation of a few stocks. I mean, you can go around the world, whether in the US with the tech stocks or here in South Africa, stocks like Pepco, Clicks have really done well, ShopRite. Mm-hmm. You go into Europe, you saw Heineken's earnings yesterday. I mean, some of these stocks are trading north of 30 times forward PEs. which really now starts to bring to the question to investors that they should be asking themselves, how small is the door going to be when it's time to exit these stocks? And you may find that there's going to be such big moves on the day that it clicks to investors that some of these valuations are just not sustainable. In the interim, it still looks great because some of them are producing great results. Mm-hmm. But that's the day that I fear, when the door starts being too small for everyone to get out.
Yeah, I take that point. Petri Odenhay said a few weeks ago, stand close to the door. You're making a good point that sometimes that door, however, is exceedingly tiny and not always that easy to get out of. Genyanyana, GoPrime, always appreciate the early morning time. Give your money the return at once without taking a flight with the StanLib Global Select Fund, an offshore equity fund submanaged by JP Morgan Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting with Kobus Lutz, CEO, Pan African Resources. Results for 6 months in December saw production, and you can measure different ways, year on year down 12.6% relative to the previous half, would have been down 3.3%. But that saw HEPS off 43.7%. Kobus, appreciate the time. This really was around challenges at Evander Mines that you had that hit production and therefore ultimately sales as well, and therefore HEPS.
Yeah, that's a good summary. I think sort of Evander Underground, the subvertical shaft has taken us a bit longer to get going. Mm-hmm. It is commissioned now. But, you know, I think people also, a couple of other points. At the end of this month, we're finishing up on the hedge that we took out to fund the construction of MTR. So, I mean, that's going to then seriously impact the gold price we receive, because as at the end of this month, we are unhedged. At the current gold price, it's sort of 80 or 90 million rand of additional free cash a month. And then in the last half, we were also ramping up MTR. So we only had 2 months of production from MTR, but you had depreciation, you had finance charges and everything else. And that project has been a fantastic success for us, producing going forward all-in sustaining cost of about $1,000 or under, and 20 years of life. Wow. So you can calculate the margins there.
Your all-in sustained cost also went up quite markedly. But again, I mean, this is a factor of mining. You've got base costs, and if you can't produce some of the gold, that hurts your pricing. Will we see a sort of reversion to lower numbers through the rest of this year and into next?
Yeah, so Simon, we're expecting all-in sustained cost for the second half to be between $1,450 to $1,500 an ounce. Mm-hmm. So that's much lower. And then with a full year of production from MTR, full year of production from our Australian assets in 26, and then also a better performance from the Evander Underground, there's no reason for the costs not to further reduce in the next financial year. So I think it's a good outlook, particularly given the global sector, where your global average now has gone beyond $1,500 per ounce.
Yeah. Absolutely. And that's always been part of the Pan-African Resources story, is that low cost of production. You're also looking to increase production. Your forecast for financial year 26 and looking quite strong. I mean, some of this you're looking, for example, to expand at Mintails. There'll be some other bits and pieces, but you're sort of not resting on your laurels. You're looking to get more and more gold out of the ground and to market.
Yeah, certainly at these prices, I mean, the more you can obviously produce, the better.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you, we are incredibly excited about Australia. So we closed that transaction in December, and we're going to be producing gold by April or May. You know, that plant is sort of pretty much built, and it'll be start commissioning in the next month. Mm-hmm. We're building an ore stockpile right in front of the plant at 1.5 grams to 1.8 grams per ton. So I don't think it's properly understood yet in terms of the impact, but, you know, major producers can't grow their production like we have been doing and like we will do. So currently, say we are sort of 200,000 mark. In the next year, we expect that to go to close to 300,000 ounces. That's a huge increase.
And you'll do that broadly within the low-cost philosophy, which is at the core of Pan-African.
Yeah, we're not interested in like high-cost problematic assets. You know, we do have our underground mines, and they sort of like children that we have to love, and it's fine. As ESSA underground mines go, these are the two I would not mind owning. Mm-hmm. But yeah, for the rest, we focus on surface and lower cost. Going forward, 60% or more of our production will come from surface.
Yep, gotcha. Quickly want to go back to that hedging that you mentioned. If I recall correctly, this was sort of, you were taking on some debt and you wanted to protect that. This wasn't a strategy within Pan-African to hedge gold. You're comfortable as a rule being subject to the gold price fluctuations.
Well, our shareholders generally, one of the principal reasons for investing in Pan African is exposure to the gold price.
Yeah.
So this hedge was actually a requirement. We needed to raise some additional funding to construct MTR. MTR, if you recall, is the biggest capital project that we've ever undertaken. It was some 2.5 billion rand of capital at a time when our market cap was a lot lower. So it was the right decision at the time. We didn't come to shareholders for money. And unfortunately, prices, or fortunately rather, prices have now very much moved in our favor, and that has had a cost. But in exchange, we've built a world-class operation that's going to be going for 20 years.
And you've also got, I mean, your debt is coming down. You've got strong cash generation in particular. I mean, if gold stays at around these levels, never mind if it potentially goes higher. To the point that in the results you say that the board will look at reviewing an interim dividend policy, which says to me, strong cash, debt going away, incredibly well positioned with the current pricing.
Well, if we look at our forecasts, a couple of things, you know, we've spent most of our major growth capital. Mm-hmm. So in terms of the sector generally, there's a lot of companies that are running out of reserves. It's not the case for us. Now, with all of this growth, it's all funded. It's all sitting in our current debt number. At these gold prices, we expect to be pretty much de-geared, including a nice increase in dividends in the next 12 to 18 months. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a pretty strong position to be in.
A last question, because the one thing that's completely beyond your control is input inflation. And certainly the headline numbers have come lower. Stats SA will tell us inflation is 3% in January. How are you finding inflation in the gold mining space?
I think wage inflation is generally under control. Reagents, so, I mean, all the chemicals you require to extract gold, those have gone up quite a lot in the last 2 years. But it does appear as those increases have now normalized. Mm-hmm. And then obviously we have our wonderful friend in Eskom with all of their issues. The way to mitigate Eskom is by going renewables. And if you remember, we were the first miner to commission large-scale solar. 10% of our energy now comes from renewables. In the next couple of years, we plan to push that up to close to 50% of all of our energy requirements.
We'll leave it there. Kobus Loot, CEO of Pan African Resources. Always appreciate the time. Let your money weather the storms with Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in the Stanlib Global Select Fund, a diversified all-weather equity portfolio submanaged by JP Morgan Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Trading now with Brad Mendel. He is national head of sales, rather, at Better Bond. Brad, appreciate the early morning time. You guys are reporting, you're seeing some increase in home loan applications year on year. Certainly some visible and positive signs of improvement in the residential market.
Yeah, morning, Simon. I guess the message is South Africans are buying homes again, which is a fantastic thing to see. I mean, we've been through a relatively tough period post-COVID. There was a bit of pent-up demand after COVID, but it's been a tough 2-3 years, primarily on the back of high interest rate environment. And so we're starting to see some really nice movement. Five of the big regions have recorded double-digit growth in the past 12 months.
Wow!
Albeit off a low base, but certainly positive signs all over the market.
You say five of the regions, and certainly, I mean, I take your point on off a low base, but you know what? We would take low double-digit growth any day of the week. Is it the regions we normally would expect, that being, you know, Western Cape, maybe Gauteng, or are we still seeing some of the, I mean, I remember Eastern Cape just after the pandemic as we all rushed off to little villages in the Eastern Cape and the like. Is it still the traditional regions doing well?
Now, it's interesting that you asked that question, Simon. I mean, certainly the bigger regions, the Western Cape, Gauteng, Pretoria, KZN, are still performing. But we're also seeing the Free State, Northern Cape performing. In fact, it's outperformed the rest of the country. And then the Eastern Cape, George, Nyas, and Aplet, those sort of areas are sort of outperforming as well. Excuse me.
Are we seeing first-time buyers into the market as well? Do you get that level of data?
Yeah, absolutely. The first-time buyers are showing a steep increase, and that always happens when the interest rate drops. So that's important. The average home loan in the first-time buyer space is around about 1.34 million. And in January, and that was 7.3% higher in January than the previous year. So we're certainly seeing a little bit of pent-up demand in the first-time buyer space.
And more generally, you mentioned there in the first-time buyer space, prices up. More generally, are we seeing increases in the home prices yet? I imagine maybe we get the influx of buyers first and then prices start to move a little down the line, or have they already started to move a bit?
No, they've already started to move a bit. We're seeing that in our space, the average home price moved up to 1.58 million, which was 4% higher than the last quarter of 2024. And we suspect that will increase because there's a lot of pent-up demand at the moment. I think another interest rate cut hopefully will certainly unlock that.
Yeah, someone suggested to me we might get two cuts by mid-year and take it down to prime to 10.5, which would be absolutely awesome. And I'm imagining if we're having this conversation and deals are happening, banks have got some appetite. They're obviously lending. They never completely shut down the books, but they got a little bit tougher. Are they giving sort of competitive rates? Is there competition between the banks in your sense to get this business?
100%, Simon. I mean, the banks have been willing to lend all along, and we're certainly starting to see concessions, which we haven't seen in some time. So, you know, our average rate concession is around about 0.65%, lower than what you would expect your bank to give you, because we negotiate on your behalf. But, yeah, we're starting to see prime less one and a half again, you know, and we haven't seen that in some time. So the banks certainly have a willingness to lend.
Is that, and maybe I'm completely wrong, but are folks arriving with good-looking deposits at the same time? I mean, there's a lot of other costs associated with home purchase, but are we seeing sort of a good-sized deposits, or the banks just sort of accepting smaller deposits?
No, look, I mean, the banks are lending 100% loans, so you know they're happy to consider that. Can obviously dependent on the individual's credit criteria or credit worthiness, but I mean, I wouldn't say that we're seeing an increase in deposits. I think it's been very difficult over the last couple of years to save for the man in the street.
It's a good point.
So, as I said, the banks are willing to lend. They're giving competitive rates. They're giving competitive deals to first-time buyers and others. So it's a good environment at the moment, Simon.
Yeah, I think that sums it up perfectly. It's a good environment in the residential property space. It's been a tough many, many years. Good to see things improving. Good to see banks giving good discount to prime. That's always important. We'll leave it there. Brad Bendel, he's National Head of Sales at BetterBond. Appreciate the early morning time. And our poll today, talking there around home loans. Are you buying a home? Are you looking to buy? Perhaps you already have one. Perhaps you still can't afford one. But have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. That's it for today. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Norbuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. If you're loving the show, please leave us an awesome rating and review in your podcatcher of choice. We'll chat again tomorrow. Eskom didn't get its price increases. Now what?
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.